Today's Shir is Masechta Sukkah Daf Mem Beis. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, the last words on the Amud Rabbi Yossi Amayantif. We had learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi taught us that if the first day of Sukkot falls on Shabbos, so if somebody carried, says Rabbi Yossi, his Dalaminim out on Shabbos, clearly being Mechal Shabbos, says Rabbi Yossi, he's not chay v'chatas, it's not considered that he was mechal Shabbos, because he was a torah b'dvar mitzvah. He was trying to do a mitzvah, and therefore Rabbi Yossi holds that such an individual is not chayiv for chil Shabbos, not even considered a shogi, they would have to bring a kar mechatas. Because what he did brushos. Comments to Gemara, Amar Abaya. So Abaya says on this, lo shana shlo yotza. When does Rabbi Yossi say this halacha? If he has not yet fulfilled the mitzvah. So as we just explained, since he has not yet fulfilled the mitzvah, he's preoccupied, he's busy thinking about doing the mitzvah, and since he's busy thinking about the mitzvah, we can't be say, we understand why he might have made the mistake. Av yotzeba, but if he already was yotze the mitzvah, so since he was ready yotze the mitzvah, he doesn't have an excuse to say, well, I was so concerned about being fulfilling the mitzvah, and therefore such a person doesn't have the exemption of a torah b'dvar mitzvah that makes him potter. But ask the Gemara, Hamida Agbei Nafik Bei, how could it ever be that when he's carrying it out, he wasn't yet yotze the mitzvah? Isn't the halacha that the moment you picked up the lulav, you yotze the mitzvah? So if you yotze the mitzvah from that moment, how could Abaye's statement that he's only potter because he still has to fulfill the mitzvah ever be passable? So Rabbi Kiva Eger asks that even if we'll say that as soon as he picks it up, he's mekayim the mitzvah, we know that what is the avera that's being violated here? The avera is carrying. And as we learned at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, every act of carrying has in it two parts, that akira and anocha. So yes, we're going to say that the moment he picks up the lulav, he's mekayim the mitzvah. But that's the moment of the akira. Since, as Kiveg, that's the moment of the akira, if the akira was, if he's excused for the akira, as we're learning, because he was busy fulfilling a mitzvah, he can't anymore be chayiv, even if the rest of the carrying and the hanocha were done without permission. So the Rishash answers, when the Gemara says Mida Agbei, doesn't mean from the moment of the akira. Rather, it means Mida Agbei, from as soon as you start getting ready to touch the Dalaminim, you yoytze the mitzvah. The Sfasemis has another answer to Rikki Vega's question. The Sfasemis says that the only what Abaye is saying is much deeper, says the Sfasemis. Abaye is saying, in order to give this person the exemption of a Torah B'dvar Mitzvah, it has to be that the entire time that he was doing the entire time he was doing what he shouldn't have been doing, he was fulfilling a mitzvah. But if not for that entire time that he was doing what he was doing, he wasn't fulfilling a mitzvah, the fact that part of the time he's fulfilling a mitzvah is inadequate. So yes, that kira, as Rabbi Kiva Eger suggests, says the Sfas Emes, was done in a way that he's not chai for that akira, because when he picked up the dalaminim, he was busy with a mitzvah. But as the Gemara is saying, this moment he puts it down, at that moment, he's no longer doing a mitzvah. Since at that moment, he's no longer doing a mitzvah, the second after that, he's no longer doing the mitzvah. And therefore, you can't apply the concept of Mida'agbei, Nafikbei. So it's an interesting question that the Bikur Yaakov discusses based on this. If somebody, we know, we discussed the other day, that the zman for taking the Dalaminim is from the Netzach Hama. What would be the halacha if somebody was holding the Dalaminim from before the Netzach Hama, and then afterwards he continued holding it after the zman? Will the halacha be that now I'm holding the Dalaminim after the Netzach Hama, so I'm yoytze the mitzvah? Or do I have to specifically only agbe, only pick it up after the zman of the mitzvah begins? And the shals tshuvas mach nechaim, chelik or chaim, chelik gimel or chaim simen gimel, discusses the shaila. He says that this was actually an area of disagreement between the Chassam Sofer and his brother-in-law, Rabbi Neumann Eger. The Chassam Sofer says that holding the dalamina from before the nates and then continue holding them until after the nates is not the way you have to fulfill the mitzvah. You have to agbe, you have to pick them up after the nates achama. Rabbi Neumann Eger said, as long as you are holding it after the nates, the fact that you pick them up before the nates doesn't make a difference. And the Shas Chuvas Binyan Shleima quotes Rabbi Yisrael Salanta that Yisrael Salanta also held that you're not yoytza until you pick it up after the nates. The Chazon Ish disagreed, and the Chazon Ish says that as long as you're holding it after the nates, the fact that you picked it up after the nates, it doesn't make a difference. And in fact, there are some achroinim that are more machmer. They say, as we discussed earlier in our Masechta, that we know that the Torah says, the lekachta lechem b'yom harishon, that in the first day of Sukkos, the lulav must belong to you, lechem, lekachta lechem, the lulav must belong to you, and otherwise you're not yoytz the mitzvah. And we learned the sugya the other day of obtaining it with a matanam naslachzer. I have a lulav, you don't. I give you my lulav, and you pick it up. You make a kinyan in it, a matanam naslachzer. So those that suggest, the Har Tzvi says that Yisrael Salanta held that not only do you have to pick it up after the nates in order to be yoytze the mitzvah, if I'm giving you the lulav for the kinyan, so then you take it from me, and we're talking obviously it's after the nates, and you have to put it down. That first lekicha that you took was not l'shem mitzvah. That first lekicha that you received was in order to take ownership of the lulav. And afterwards, he says, you then put it down and pick it up and to be mekayim the mitzvah. As we're learning, that's the way to fulfill the mitzvah. So the question again is, if Abaye says that we only could apply Rabbi Yossi's leniency while you're doing a mitzvah, so Gemara asks, Mid'agbe, as soon as you picked it up, you were right to the mitzvah. So how could we say that while you were carrying it out, you should be potter because you were oisik b'dvar mitzvah? Says the Gemara, Am Abaye kishafchai. We're speaking about in a situation where you carried it upside down. And as we discussed earlier in our Masechta, you're not yoytze the mitzvah of dalaminim only if you hold them the way they grow from the ground. So if you carried it upside down, then you're not yoytze the mitzvah, and therefore you're still a Torah b'dvar mitzvah, and you have Rabbi Yossi's dispensation. The Rebbeinu Chananel says a very bechiddush. We learned earlier in our Masechta that the lulav should be held in the right hand and the esrig in the left hand. He says, Pshat in our Gemara is that this person was holding the lulav in the left hand and the esrog in the right hand. And he says that not only is that not the proper way to hold the dalaminim, but he actually suggests that you're not yoytza the mitzvah of dalaminim if you held it that way. So this person was holding the dalaminim that way. Since he was holding the dalaminim that way, he wasn't yoytza the mitzvah. Rava mafil taimish shloi hafchad. We don't have to say that he was holding it the wrong way. Hachem ma'iskinen kagon shatzir b'kli, that he carried it out, not holding them direct, holding it directly. And since you're not mekayim the mitzvah of taking dalaminim when you don't hold them directly in your hand, therefore you weren't yoytze the mitzvah yet. So asks the Ran. So if it turns out that you weren't yoytze the mitzvah by carrying the dalminim that way, by not carrying the dalminim directly in your hand, but rather carrying them in the keli, so why should you? So that's why you put on the dalminim, because you're still a Torah b'dvar mitzvah, as we've been discussing. But ask the Ran, why are you not chai for carrying out the keli in which you had the dalminim? So So the Ran says that the Gemara Masechta Shabbos discusses shiurim for carrying on Shabbos. The Gemara often there discusses what are the different shiurim for carrying. Says the Ran, you're only chayiv for carrying the actual item. So let's say I'm carrying a food. And normally, we learned in Masechta Shabbos, the shiur for carrying food is a koseves. I carried less than a koseves, so I'm not chayiv for carrying, certainly not midaraisa. But I carried the koseves in a vessel, so why am I not chayiv for that keli? Says the Ran, because the basis of those gemaras is that the vessel is bottled, is secondary to the food. And if you're not chayiv on the food, you're not going to be chayiv for the vessel either. Explains the Ran the same in our Gemara. You're not chayiv for carrying the dalminim, because you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah yet, as Abaye told us. And you're torah b'dvar mitzvah, as Reb Yossi told us. Why? Because as the Gemara just said, because you were not holding the dalminim directly. You're not going to be chayiv for the keli either, because the keli is bottled to the dalminim. Ask the Gemara, that if somebody has to hold something, even though he didn't hold it directly, it's still considered that he held it. Answers the Gemara, Hani mili b'derech kavod. Yes, Rava is lenient that if you carried it, b'derech kavod, even though you didn't hold the actual item, it's okay. But if you're not holding it in a respectful method, Aval, Derek Bazoyan, Rava will agree that you're not Yotzer. Tosfos points out that the fact that the Gemara didn't say, the Gemara could have said a simpler teretz. We spoke about this teretz previously. The Gemara could have said that the person carried it, and he carried it with his hands, and he carried it in the normal way of carrying, but he had a mind that he should not be Yotzer the mitzvah. And therefore, even though he carried it normally, he would not be Yotzer. The fact says, the Tosfos, that the Gemara didn't give this teretz, is a proof that not only does Abaye hold that mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, but it's even deeper than that. That mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, you Yotzer a mitzvah, even if you had explicit kavana that you don't want to be Yotzer the mitzvah, it doesn't make a difference. If you did a mitzvah, and you did it the way you did the mitzvah, the way the mitzvah is supposed to be performed. If we hold mitzvah ain't tzrichas kavana, you need no more. Says the Gemara. So the Gemara continues discussing the subject of mitzvah of tavid var mitzvah. I'm Rav Huna. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Now that Rabbi Yossi again has established that tavid var mitzvah is potter, oila ha'oif shenimtzus ben gefayim. We know that two types of carbonus that could come from a bird. A carbon oilus oif and a carbon chatas oif. And the halacha is that the carbonus are brought in different places and in different ways. The carbon oilus oif is brought on the Keren Dromus Mizrachus on the south east corner of the Mizbeach. And the chatas oif is brought on the Keren Marovus Dromus on the southwest corner. Moreover, the oilus ha'oif is done on the upper half of the mizbeach, lemalam mechuta sukra, and the chatas ha'oif is done on the lower half. And here you have, says the Gemara, oilus ha'oif, the loch is completely burnt on the mizbeach, and the chatas ha'oif is completely, the bird is completely eaten by the kohanim. And you have an oilus ha'oif, the bird that you're not supposed to eat. What happened was you got confused, and you thought that it's a chatas oif. And the Rishonim discuss how is it possible that you could get confused. So Rashi, then we just explain that it's done, it's brought in different places. So the Kapos Tamarim explains that sometimes there's an abundance of kabonis. And since there's an abundance of kabanas, they get mixed up. Another pshat that I saw is that they used to put all of these birds, after they did them, they used to put them in a special place. And there was a confusion. And he thought that this is a chatas oif, which is meant for the kohen to eat, but really was an oilus oif, which is meant for the kohen not to eat. And since it's meant not for the kohen not to eat, if somebody eats a kachim that they're not supposed to eat, they're over the avera mila, and they have to bring a karma mila, etc. Says the Gemara, your potter, you wouldn't have to bring the carbon oil. You wouldn't have to bring the carbon ila because you're a toyer tabidvar mitzvah. And there's a fundamental machloikis hachroinim. What is the exemption of a tabidvar mitzvah? Rabbi Akiva Eiger explains that in halacha, there are two different categories that people confuse, but halachically they're very different. One is called a oinus, and one is called a shogig. The halacha is that by an oinus, by a shogig, you chayev a carbon if you did an aver b'shogig. But if you did an aver b'oinus, oinus rachmana patrei, you're entirely potter. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the Rabbi Yossi is teaching us that a tor b'dvar mitzvah is in the category of an oinus. Rav Chaim Oizer says that we could suggest that a tor b'dvar mitzvah is still considered a shogig. But there's a special halacha, there's a special gzeres akosev, says Rav Chaim Moiser, that Rav Yossi is teaching us that a tor b'dvar mitzvah, even though it's a shogig, doesn't have to bring the carbon. But ask the Gemara, my kamashmon, so what has Rav Yossi just taught us? The tor b'dvar mitzvah potter, as we just explained. So ask the Gemara, hainu hach, isn't that what he just taught us in our Mishnah, that if somebody carried out the Dalaminim on Shabbos, he's potter because he's a tor b'dvar mitzvah? So what is Rabbi Yossi teaching us that we haven't already learned? Answers the Gemara, Ma'adutayma, we would have thought that where does Rabbi Yossi apply the concept of tor b'dvar mitzvah? Hosom, who the tor b'dvar mitzvah potter, David mitzvah. In the case of our Mishnah, the person who was a tor b'dvar mitzvah, at the end of the day, did a mitzvah. He did the mitzvah of Dalaminim. He shouldn't have done it the way he did it, but he did a mitzvah. And in this case, Aval Hocha, somebody who ate the oilus oif, which as we explained, is not meant to be eaten, the tor b'dvar mitzvah, and he made this mistake because he was involved in a mitzvah, but at the end of the day, loy ovid mitzvah, he hasn't performed the mitzvah. Emeloy, maybe there Rabbi Yossi doesn't apply the concept of Taba Va'amitzvah. Kamashmalon, that's what Rav Huna comes to teach us, that even under those circumstances, Rabbi Yossi agrees that you apply the case, the concept of Taba Va'amitzvah, and you wouldn't be chayiv a carbon. Tosfos brings a different girsa to our Gemara. Tosfos says, Ma'ad Tema, Hani Mili Mitzvah Deromilei. The way does Rabbi Yossi give you the dispensation of a tor b'dvar mitzvah? A mitzvah that you're obligated to do. Everybody is obligated to do the mitzvah, dalaminim. Avo mitzvah d'loi rami alei. There is no specific obligation on a kohen, on any one kohen, to eat the korban chatas oif. So therefore there, you don't have that same pressure. And since you don't have that same pressure to fulfill the mitzvah, maybe we don't apply the concept of tor b'dvar mitzvah. Teaches us the Gemara that even though we apply the concept of tor b'dvar mitzvah. The halacha is that before somebody brings a carbon tamid, for 4 days, the halacha is that animals should be inspected and left in a place to make sure it has no mumim and has no blemishes. The Gemara Masechet Pesachim actually teaches us that we know this halacha from the carbon Pesach, because we remember that the Torah teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Klal Yisrael to take the animals that they're going to use for the Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim on Yud Nisan to have them prepared 4 days in advance for the Korban Pesach. And what we do with this Korban is to check them every day if it's fit to be brought for Korban Pesach. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, Rabbi Yossi Oyma Shoychit Korban Tomit She'ena Avuka Kelchosoi B'Shabbos. If somebody took an animal that wasn't properly checked and used it for a carbon tamid on Shabbos, chayv chatas, he's chayv chatas for being mechal Shabbos, shechting an animal that he had no right to shecht. He shechita is a melacha on Shabbos. It's a melacha of oisa chabura, so it's certainly a melacha, and it's permitted to shecht a carbon tamid on Shabbos when you did it properly. But if you didn't do it properly, it's considered you a Mechal Shabbos. And furthermore, the Tzorach Tamid Acher. You have to bring another Korban Tamid. So what we see from here is that you don't have the dispensation of a Tor B'dvar Mitzvah. And Tosfos points out that not only do you have to bring another Karmen Tamid if you brought this animal that wasn't properly inspected, but Tosfos says that even if it turns out that the animal that you used was a kosher animal, since you had to, the halacha teaches us that the only animal that may be used for Karmen Tamid is an animal that was mavukar, that was checked. This animal wasn't mavukar. The fact that it didn't have any mumim doesn't make a difference. The Miri says a little differently. The Miri says you can never be certain after the death of an animal that the animal was truly not a bal mum. There's certain mumim that are no longer able to be determined after the shechita. So why? But if Reb Yossi applies the concept of tov dvar mitzvah, why is he say over there that he's chay v'chatas? Says the Gemara, you can't bring a rai from that story. He brought it from a place where there were animals that are not checked. What the Gemara means to say here is as follows. What is the basis of everything we've been discussing about Reb Yossi? The person got so involved in doing a mitzvah that he forgot himself and he did something which wasn't proper. But that's only if you were involved in doing a mitzvah. If you go to a place, why is the kohen going to the lishka, to the chamber where there are animals that weren't inspected? There is no right to go to such a place on Shabbos. And therefore, he doesn't have the excuse of being a tov dvar mitzvah. Says the Mishnah, Mekabalos isha miyad benom miyad bala. A woman could take from her husband, from her son, the lulav, machziros lamayim b'shabbos, and put it back into water. And there's no issue that the lulav is muksa. The halach is that even though it's the lulav was already, the mitzvah was done, and she has no mitzvah to take the lulav, it's still not a problem to put it into water. On Shabbos, we're allowed to put the lulav back into the water from which it was taken. But Yontif, my sifin, on Yontif, not only are we allowed to put it back into that water, but we could even add water. Ubemayid and Chalamayid, we could even be more lenient. Machlifin, we could switch the water. And this is an important question. The question is, under what circumstances could we put flowers into water on Shabbos? And the Chai Adam and the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasai summarizes these halachas based on the Mishnah Brura, and he says you have to have two conditions. We hold that there have to be two conditions to allow you to put flowers into water. Number one, the flowers should have been in that water from before Shabbos. And number two, they're flowers that won't open by putting them into the water. But if the flowers will open by putting them into the water, then you're not allowed to put the water into, then you're not allowed to put flowers into water on Shabbos. Furthermore, teaches us the Mishnah, katna yideh l'naneya, if a child is able, old enough, to know to shake the lulav properly, chayev lulav, at that point, he's mechoyev to do the mitzvah of lulav. So the Mishnah is teaching us, of course, it's a mitzvah of chinuch. At what point does the mitzvah of chinuch begin? It begins at the age that the child knows what to do nanuim. And as I saw the Achronim discuss, we know that even though, of course, we spoke in our Masechta how important it is to do the Nanuim and what the Nanuim accomplish, so why is the Gemara connecting the shear of when a child does the mitzvah from when he could do Nanuim if you don't have to do Nanuim altogether? So I saw that the Aruch HaShulchan and the Avni Nezer explain that even though the Nanuim are not absolutely essential to the fulfillment of the mitzvah, but what the Gemara is trying to establish here is, at what age is a child considered old enough that we have the obligation to be mechanechim? And the Gemara wants to give us a shear, and the shear is that from when the child is old enough and mature enough to do the Nanuim. I saw that the Sefer Chashukei Chemed discusses an interesting question. You have a person has Dalaminim, and he has, and there's another person who doesn't have Dalaminim, and a person has his son. So the other person has a chiv, the reisa, to take the dal minim. He's a godel. And his son, as we just explained, has the obligation to take dal minim, but it's only midrabanan, because of chinuch. The question is, the Sharetzion asked this question in Simon Tov Reish Nun Hey, Sif Cotton Hey, who should you give it to? Should you give it to your child, or should you give it to the other godel? And the Shukei Chemed, Zilberstein Shlita, says that he asked this question to his father-in-law, Rabbi Yoshua Zatzal, and his father says that even though there's a concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim L'zeh L'zeh, so we have an obligation and responsibility to see that this next person should be Mekayim, the Mitzvah Dal Minim, said Rabbi Yoshev, our Chiyav of Chinuch supersedes, our Chiyav of Chinuch supersedes our Chiyav of Arevis to see that somebody else should do the Mitzvah, and therefore, says Rabbi Yoshev, give the Lulav to your child before you. If you only can give it to one, give it to your son and not to somebody else. Tosfos in Masecht Erechin, that Beis of Beis, Divrei Maskil Aviv, says that a father is mechuyev, as we're learning now, to be mechanech his child in the mitzvah of Dal Minim. But Tosfos seems to say that we're not mechuyev in the mitzvah of chinuch of Dal Minim, does not obligate us to buy Dal Minim from our son. We're mechuyev to be mechanechim, but we don't have to buy for him. However, in Chutz Laretz, this is not so simple. Because as we've mentioned many times, if somebody doesn't have their own Dal Minim, what they do is that we give them our Dal Minim with a matana manas lahachzer. But the issue here is going to be that if once we give to our child the Dal Minim with a matana manas lahachzer, a child has the ability to be koina, to take ownership of something, but he does not have the ability to be makta, to give ownership back. So once the child takes ownership of the dal minim, he's not going to be able to give it back to us in a truly halachic acceptable fashion. And in Chutz Laretz, we quoted a machloikus rishonim, if the din of lechem in Chutz Laretz isn't like in Eretz Yisrael only on the first day yontif, or is it the din of lechem and chutz laretz on the second day yontif as well? So if we paskin, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that the requirement of lechem applies in chutz laretz on the second day, so if I gave my son the lulav on the first day with a matana las lachzer, then I wouldn't be able to take it back. So it seems that according to that, in chutz laretz, the Tosfos point that all I have to do in chinuch is have my son shake the lulav is inadequate, because I would have to buy for him a lulav in order to avoid the problem that we just mentioned. However, it's interesting that the Taz points out that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. And the question is, why not? So some want to say that the Shulchan Aruch is only addressing people in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz Laretz, the Shulchan Aruch would actually hold that even Tosfos would agree, and that would be an halacha, the one is obligated to purchase Dal Minim on his children. However, there are those that say, and this is a chiddush, because we've often said in our shiurim, that the mitzvah of chinuch includes that we're supposed to be mechanech our children to do a mitzvah, and when mechanech our children to do a mitzvah, we have to be mechanech them to do the mitzvah in the perfect fashion, the way a mitzvah is supposed to be performed. So if there's a din that's lochem, you're not mekayim the mitzvah unless you did it in a way that the person who's doing the mitzvah has it completely as lochem. If that would be the case, then one could, if being mechanech his child, and if he's only lending him his lulav, not giving him the lulav to avoid the problems that we're discussing now, he would not be mekayim. The child would not be mekayim the mitzvah as it's supposed to be fulfilled. He would not be doing the mitzvah with lochem. But there are achrayim that suggest that even though, as we've said, normally that's the way a mitzvah is supposed to be performed, when it comes to dal minim, as long as we lend the child a perfectly kosher lulav, even though it's not lochem, even though it doesn't belong to him, he's still mekayim the mitzvah that way. So our Gemara said that we could give the lulav to our wives to put away. Pshita, why not? Answers the Gemara. The mitzvah of dalaminim and mitzvah seishes man groma, and women are exempt from mitzvah seishes man groma. So maybe it should be muksa as far as she's concerned. The halach is kamash malon that since men are mechuyev to do the mitzvah of dalaminim, that prevents the lula from being considered muksa. Furthermore, the Taz says that a lulav is considered like a keli shemalach delisser. We know when we speak about the mitzvah of dalaminim, there are the mitzvah, the din of muksa, there are different categories of muksa. And one of the categories of muksa, sometimes you may not move muksa under any circumstances, and sometimes muksa can be moved l'tzarech gufay, if I need to use the object, or l'tzarech mekaymai, I need the place where it is. The Taz says that a lulav, dalaminim, are considered like a klishel malach delisser, and they may be moved l'tzarech gufay u'mekaymai. The Mishnah Berurah actually quotes in Siman Tov Reish Nun Ches, Sif Katan Dalet, quotes the Maimon Mordechai that holds the Dalaminim are considered Muksa Makam Skufoy. And once you put down the Lulav, if you have no need for that Lulav, if you pick it up again, you have no right to pick it up again, move it again, it's Muksa. Says the Mishnah, we learned, Katan Hayudel and Anea, we learned in the Mishnah that as soon as a child is old enough to know how to shake the Lulav, the halacha is we have to teach him to do this mitzvah. And teaches us the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, Katna Yudel and Anea, a child who's old enough to know how to shake the lulav properly, Chayev belulav. He's chayev in the mitzvah lulav. L'sa'atef, if a child as old knows how to put on tzitzis properly, Chayev betzitzis. Lishma tefillin, ovel lekeach tefillin. And I saw that the Rishonim, the Kapas Tamarim, and the Meiri, Kapas Tamarim is an Achram, Meiri is a Rishon, point out that the wording of the Gemara is inconsistent. By tzitzis, the Gemara says, l'satav chayev b'tzitzis. By tefillin, the Gemara says, chayev ovel lekeach tefillin. The father has to buy from tefillin. And the question is, why is there this inconsistency? So they explain. The mitzvah of tzitzis is a mitzvah. The midrash of the mitzvah is that if you have a beged, if you have a garment that has four corners, you have to put on tzitzis. If you don't have such a beged, you have no chiyuv. Yes, the Gemara Masechet Menachos says that be'idin rischa, in a time where the Kodesh Baruch Hu is being particular with the way we behave, so then if somebody not wearing tzitzis, somebody didn't buy himself a four-cornered beged, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes. But halachically, there is no obligation. Whereas by tefillin, it's not just that if you have tefillin, you're supposed to wear tefillin. When we speak about tefillin, there's an obligation for every Jew to wear tefillin every day. And since there's an obligation for every Jew to wear tefillin every day, so if the chiyuv of chinuch teaches us that a father has to go and buy tefillin for his son. So here our Gemara has mentioned and taught us the chiyuv of chinuch and the chiyuv of by lulav and by tzitzis. Continues the Braisa, Yedei Ladaber, as soon as a child knows how to speak, Ovav Lamda Torah, his father has to teach him Torah, the Krishma. He has to teach him to say Krishma. Torah Mahi, ask him what's Torah, Amra Famnuna, Torah Tziva Lona Moshe, Marosha Kilos Yaakov. Krishma Mahi, what does it mean that we teach him Krishma? It means that we teach him to say the Pasuk Rishon. So I saw that the Rishonim already explained that what is the point of teaching the child these three things? That we're supposed to teach, just like a child, as soon as he's a baby, his parents teach him how to eat. His parents teach him the basic functions of what a human being needs to know. The same thing, say the Rishonim already, is the way we're supposed to train our children. As soon as they have the slightest amount of intelligence, where we have to teach them, the Kedesh Yitzchak discusses this as well, the first thing we have to teach them is Shema Yisrael. We have to teach them the fact, what Amun is all about. And A person has to live with Amunah and Krishma. A person has to realize Tarat Sivalon Moshe Marosha Kilas Yaakov, that we're part of Kehilas Yaakov, we're part of something greater, the Kehilas Yaakov of all of the generations of Klal Yisrael. And I saw Rav Huttner makes a very, very powerful point. Rav Huttner Zatzal said that a child is taught Krishna when he's very young. And when he taught Krishna when he's very young, his understanding is a simple, simple understanding. He's a child. Says Rav Huttner, that's what we're trying to teach us. What we're trying to teach is that our understanding and our amunah and our Kadosh Baruch Hu has to be a simple, simple amunah, nothing fancy. Just knowing Krishma, that a simple amunah pshuta and our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yidei lishma gufay, if the child is old enough that he knows not to touch a mace, or sheretz, or anything that's tamei, or not to go into an oil mace, oichal gufa tarus. We could rely on him that the food that he touched was tar, is still tar. Lishmas yodav, watching his hand, that's a higher level of shmira. Oichal yodav tarus. If his hands touched it, but we know he knows how to protect his hands, at that point we could eat taharis and not be concerned that his hands touched and make were tamei. Haidea Lishoil, if he's old enough to be able to answer, did you come in contact with Tomo or not? B'shus HaYochid, Sveika Tomei, the loch is that he's treated like every Safek Tomo. The loch is Safek Tomo, which we learn from Saita. Safek Tomo B'shus HaYochid is Tomei, B'shus HaRabim, Sveika Tar. As soon as he's old enough to have that level of intelligence, that's how we treat him like all the halachas of Tumah v'Tahara. Dei lifras kapov, if he's old enough to be able to duchen and tzibur, chol kol truma beis agronis. We are allowed to give him truma in the beis agronis. Kahanim would go to the warehouse and get truma. The halacha is, what the Gemara is teaching us is, that if the child is old enough to do this, then they could duchen properly, then we could give him truma in the beis agronis. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara, that we have this child who's competent enough to do the Maisa Shechita properly, but he's not competent that he knows all the halacha of Shechita. So Hidei Lishchait, Oichlam Shechita Asai. We're allowed to eat from his Shechita when there's an Oymed, Godel Oymed Agabov, when there's an adult watching. So the adult knows all the halachas, and he knows how to do the act of shechita, and that's when we could eat from his shechita. Amra Papa, who should go to Oymel Gabov, we could be confident that it's being done properly. Yochlach Kezayis Dogen, if he's old enough to be able to eat a kezayis of wheat, Marchikem Mitzvei Osoy, or Mimeimen Raglov Abamas. We know that we're not allowed to daven. We're not allowed to say Krishma next to Tzoya or next to Meir Glayim. A child who could eat a Kazayas Dogen, could eat a Kazayas Dogen, then his Tzoya has a halachic status of Tzoya. Amar Rav Chisda, to which Rav Chisda comments, Hu shiyoch halach l'b'chdei chilas pras. It's not enough that he could eat it, but he has to be old enough that he could eat it b'chdei chilas pras. A chilas pras is typically anywhere, many opinions, anywhere from 2 minutes to 9 minutes. Amrav chibereid Rav Yuna, but Godel, abishenu yochel lech b'chdei chilas pras, if you have an adult who doesn't eat, who can't eat a kezayis pras, a kezayis b'chdei chilas pras, his soya is still considered soya. The ksiv, the Yosef das, as a person gets older, Yosef machoiv, he could create soya, even though he didn't eat the right amount. Devin Ezra explains the pasuk, Yosef Das, somebody who is a smart person, Yosef Machab, a person who doesn't think that much, says Devin Ezra, he lives life and he doesn't pay attention. person who's a Yosef Das, who's an intelligent person, and realizes that our life here is only for a certain amount of time and what we have to accomplish in life, Yosef Machov, his life is a much more difficult life because he realizes the value of every moment and what could be and what wasting time means. Yochalach Kzayis Kli, Tzli, if the child is old enough that he could already eat a Kzayis of roasted meat, Shechton of a Pesach, he could be part of the group of the Karm Pesach. Shnema, Ish Lefli Achlai. Yehuda Omer, Ad Shiochal Levar Achira. They give him food to eat, and he knows what is edible and what it's not edible. Ketzad, Noisnoi Tzror, if he's given a stone, Zorka, he throws it away. Egois, but he gives a walnut, not lie. That is a child that's old enough to be participate in the group of the Karm Pesach. However, says Rashi, even though once the child is at this point, the halacha is that he could participate in the Karm Pesach, Rashi says we cannot and should not have a group just of ketanim. We should have, there should not be a situation that the entire group is just ketanim. Hadron lach lulav agazel, hadron lach lulav agazel, hadron lach lulav agazel. Lulav, says the Mishnah, the mitzvah of taking lulav and the mitzvah of taking darava. In the Beis HaMikdash, they took darava every day and put it around the mizbeach. We're done, sometimes shisha, sometimes it's done 6 days of yontif, and sometimes 7 days, and the Gemara will explain. Hallel. So Rashi says, the definition is saying hallel. That on Sukkos, we say hallel every day. Unlike Pesach, where we only say Hallel, the whole Hallel, on the first day. And the reason we say Hallel on Sukkos every day, the whole Hallel, because every day of Sukkos, there are different Kabbanis. Whereas on Pesach, the same Kabbanis are brought every day, and therefore we only say Hallel, the Chiv to say Hallel is only on the first day. There's an interesting Machloikis Rishonim. Rashi says that the mitzvah of saying Hallel on all 8 days of Sukkos is Takonis Nevi'im Hi. It's something that the Nevi'im established. The Behag and other Rishonim say that Hallel is one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. And the question is, where does it say in the Torah that we're obligated to say Hallel? So the Rabban says that Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Klal Yisrael on the Yom Tovim should say Hallel. And the Ramban says, based on that, we know that the prokim of Hallel are prokim from Tehillim. So how could have Moshe Rabbeinu been told to say Hallel? So the Ramban says that those prokim of Tehillim, which make up Hallel, suggest the Ramban, were actually composed by Moshe Rabbeinu. Just like we find, says the Ramban, that there's a perek in Tehillim that says Tefillah LeMoshe. Not all of the chapters of Tehillim, suggest the Ramban, were composed by David. They were composed by others, and David compiled them all into Tehillim. And the prokem of Hallel, says the Ramban, were composed by Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu took them out of Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to say Hallel, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the nes. The Shagas Aryeh asks that he wants to suggest, he says that it was Shoyim that suggests, that the reason the Bahag could say that Hallel is a mitzvah deraisa, because it's a mitzvah of Simcha and Yontif, and he says that the mitzvah of Simcha is includes Hallel. So ask the Shagas Aryeh if Hallel is part of the mitzvah of Simcha. So ask the Shagas Aryeh, women are mechuyiv in the mitzvah of Simcha, so why should there not be chayiv and Simcha? So there are those achroinim, based on the Shagas Aryeh's question, that say that women are mechuyiv to say Hallel on Yontif. Since women are mechuyiv in Simcha, they're mechuyiv in Hallel also. However, say, the question really depends, is why? If we say the Hallel is because of Yontif, and the Briskerov says this for it, and the Chiv Simcha is all of Yontif, so it's not a mitzvah to say Shas Man Grama, women are mechuyiv in Simchas Yontif, and therefore they're mechuyiv in Hallel as well. But the Briskerov wants to suggest that the mitzvah halal on Sukkot is really connected to the mitzvah of the dalaminim. And since women are exempt from the mitzvah of dalaminim, that's why they're exempt from halal as well. A simcha, as we just spoke about, the mitzvah of simcha is all 8 days of Yontif. So Rashi says that what does simcha mean? That when the Beis HaMikdash stood, there was a mitzvah to eat korban shlomim all 8 days of Yontif. Tosfos points out that in a time where we don't have kabbonis, or if even in the time where there were kabbonis, but you don't have any kabbonis available, you could be yotze mitzvah simcha if just with ksus nekiya, new clothing, yayin yoshin, drinking wine. And there's interesting machlokes. When we say, according to Rashi, that the mitzvah of simcha is with korban shlomim, what does that mean? With the eating of the korban shlomim or with the bringing of the korban shlomim? And it's a big machlokes rishonim that what is the mitzvah, what is included, what is the way of fulfilling the mitzvah simcha, particularly according to Rashi. Sukkah, the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah. Nisach HaMayim, the mitzvah of pouring water on the Mizbeach, were for 7 days of sukkah. HaChalil, that they used to play with a flute by the Simchas Beis HaSheva. So that was not allowed to be done, not on Shabbos nor on Yontif. And therefore, sometimes it's Chamisha, sometimes you only did it for 5 days of Yontif, and sometimes it was done on 6 days of Yontif. Lulav Shiva Ketzet, so Gemara began, that sometimes we take the Lulav for 7 days. The Mishnah began. What does that mean? B'Yontif Rishon Shchali is B'Shabbos. If the first day of Yontif falls out on Shabbos, so we take the Dalminim even on Shabbos, and certainly the next 6 days are not Shabbos, so there's no reason not to take the Dalminim, and we take it therefore for a total of seven. B'Shakli Yontif, if Yontif Rishon isn't on the first day of Yontif, then the halacha is you take it only for Shisha for 6 days. So Turi Evan asks, as we're going to learn in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem in our coming Shir, the Isser of taking Dalminim on Shabbos is Isser the Rabbanon. And there's a rule of Ein Shvus B'Migdash. So why in the Beis HaMikdash did they not take the Dalminim on Shabbos even if it isn't the first day of Yontif? So the Turi Evan says that this rule of Ein Shvus B'Migdash is only applicable, he suggests, when the Shvus is regarding the Avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. But the Dalminim is not a Beis HaMikdash Avoidah, and therefore it doesn't apply. A Rav is Shiva Ketzet. We said sometimes the Rav is 6 days, sometimes 7 days. Yoyim HaShvi Shal HaRav HaShchali is B'Shabbos. If Hashana Rabbah falls on Shabbos, so then you will have taken the Rav for 7 days. V'shakal yomim, if Hashanah Rabbah is not on Shabbos, then it's only six. The only time that you'll take it is if the Hashanah Rabbah is on Shabbos. Otherwise, it's not Doicha Shabbos. And as Sfasemis points out, it'll never be in 1 year that the Arava and the Lulav are taken both on 7 days. Mitzvah Lulav Ketzat, how was the mitzvah of Lulav? Says the Gemara, Yontif Rishon Shechal B'Shabbos. If the first day of Yontif falls on Shabbos, so you're not allowed to carry the lulav to the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. So everybody Melichnas Lulavim LaHarabayis would carry the lulavim to the Harabayis from before Shabbos. The Chazonim and the people, the attendants who worked in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kabun Mehem, would take those lulavim. The Sodin Yisrael Gabi Itzdaba, there was a platform on the Harabayis. That's where they left it. Zakenim, the elderly people, Menichin as Shalahem Belishka. There was a special chamber that they shouldn't have to be pushing together with everybody else. Umalad Moisel Loimer, and the next day everybody comes on Shabbos to pick up the Dalaminim. But as we learned earlier in our Shia, the Halach is the Dalaminim must be Lochem, must belong to you. So we have to be concerned that maybe the person on Shabbos is not getting his lulav. So everybody's taught to say, "Kol mi shemagia lulavi biyadai harel matana." If there's a mix-up and I get somebody else's lulav, he should use mine, and I'll use his. Macher, and indeed on the first day Yontif, mashkimim uboim, They all come to the Beis HaMikdash. V'chazarim zorkim lefneim, and these chazarim would throw the dalminim to them. V'hem echat v'makim ish esrei eschaveri. And it became a very complicated situation because there were so many people and so many lulavim, and people were starting to get hurt. Shiro Bezdin shabal de sakana. And when Bezdin saw that this was a real issue, Hiskinu ye kol echav echav naitu v'beisoy, everybody should take it at home. I saw machlokes achroinim. What does that mean? Does it mean that they should take it at home? Or does it mean instead of bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash, where there were so many people, maybe what they should do is that everybody should take it to their own shul where they daven, and there aren't so many people in every shul. And since there aren't so many people in any shul, this concern wouldn't be there, but they would still have it in shul, and they could do the nanuim b'tzibur.